This message by Pastor Alexander Ruggieri was delivered at Faith Fellowship Church in Dodgeville, Wisconsin. For more information, please call 608-935-2655 or visit us at www.dodgevillefc.com.
Parables are profound when Jesus is teaching parables. The more I study them, the more I realize that when God created the world, it's like He created these things in order to point to who He is and what He's like. And the Bible teaches that, but it just amazes me more and more. If you remember the parable of the seed and the sowers, casting seed into the ground, when you look into it, it's like you almost think that God, back in the day when He created the world, He actually intended, when He created this thing called ground and these things called seeds, He did it knowing that one day His Son was going to teach about how the gospel is like casting seed into the ground. Or when I look into the parable of the revealed light, and just not this parable, but all the other references of light in the Bible, it's almost as if God, when He said, "Let there be light," created that light in order to show what He is like. And we all know the verse that says, "The heavens declare the glory of God." All of this creation, all this stuff out here has an eternal truth behind it that points to God and what He is like. The physical was made to illustrate the spiritual. Light is amazing. It's amazing. It's as simple as looking at a candle or seeing the sun. But it's deep enough to confuse even the most intelligent physicists ever to walk the planet. There's this debate. Some say that it's a wave. Some say that it's a particle. Some say that it's both. Some say that it's neither. It's no wonder the Bible can say God is light, because light is pretty much as beyond his comprehension as God is. C.S. Lewis says this, "I believe in Christianity as I believe that the sun has risen, not only because I see it, but because by it I see everything else." And that's true of our faith. We could see it. We see it to be true. God has given us those eyes of faith. But through our faith, we can see everything else. We can see the world as it really is. It has been said that when we squint at the sun when it's bright, but we squint at people when they're not. And I notice a lot of you always are squinting at me, and it's telling me something. I saw a video once. Just to show the power of light, I saw a video. There was this young man, he must have been in his late teens, early 20s. He created this device he called like the death ray machine. It was this little cart, and on the cart was this satellite dish looking thing. And on that satellite dish were 5,800 little itty bitty mirrors. And he put this together, and he showed what this was like, in that he took a stick or he took a piece of mud or something and he held it in front of this death ray machine about 3 feet out from this machine, and the mirrors intensified the sun to such a degree that when we went away from the machine at a certain spot, all of a sudden it ignited on fire instantly. All the power of the sun was being centered into one little itty bitty point. I mean, he had mud turned to lava. He had sticks just engulf immediately. He had tin cans just melting holes right through it. It was amazing, the power of light. Light has so many different applications, so many different qualities, so many different uses and meanings and attributes. Depending on the translation, the word light appears in the Bible a little over 200 times. And each can have their own little nuance and application. Well, in our text, Jesus highlights three attributes of light. that we want to learn this morning. As He is our Rabbi Yeshua Messiah, He's using a parable to teach us three different attributes of light: the illumination of light, the revelation of light, and the compensation of light. So first, the illumination of light. If you look in your Bibles, if you have them handy, you can open up to Luke chapter 8, verse 16. Jesus teaches a parable and He says, "No one, when he has lit a lamp, covers it with a vessel or puts it under a bed, but sets it on a lampstand that those who enter may see light." Light illuminates. That's pretty basic. It's one of the most basic things that we can know about light. When you walk into a room, you flip a switch to light up the room. And that's a convenience for many, many years. When you wanted to light up a room, you lit a candle or you lit an oil lamp to light up that room. Now, can you tell me how absurd it would be, say you have a house that you want to build and you have contractors come. Now imagine you walk up to your electrician and you say to them, "I want you to wire all the lights on the floor, and all the light fixtures are going to be in the floor." That would be absurd. When you light a house, you put the fixtures on the ceiling. Why is that? Because at the ceiling, there are less obstacles to stop that light from illuminating. If you were to put it in the floor, you've got furniture, you've got cabinets, you've got chairs and tables and couches and all different things to block that light from getting out. And so you put it above. It's not like gravity pulls it down. Some might say it does. But nonetheless, it illuminates the room around you. Why do we do this? So that we can see. Jesus calls Himself the light of the world. He calls Himself the light of the world. In John chapter 8, verse 12, He says, "I am the light of the world. He who follows Me will not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." When you come to Christ in salvation, Jesus plants Himself, He wires inside of you His light, because He is the light of the world. And so as a Christian, you have Christ inside of you, ready to shine out who He is and what He's like. And Jesus is asking Luke, if you have light in you, because I am the light of the world and you are a follower of Me, why are you hiding it? Why are you hiding it? Look at the parallel passage in Matthew chapter 5. Look back a little bit into Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. This is the same teaching, just in a little bit different of a context. Let's turn there. Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 and 16. He says this, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." Just as a light in a room is to illuminate that room, make itself known to all who can see, so your Christian life as a disciple, as a Talmid of Yeshua Messiah, is supposed to illuminate the dark world around you. So why are we afraid to shine our light? Why do we want to put it under our lamp or our table? Honestly, it's because we're afraid of what people will think of us. But remember, illumination is shining light. We in and of ourselves are dark, and God is light in us. So if we're shining light, are we shining ourselves? No, we're shining God. Light shouldn't point to us. It should point to God. That's why Jesus says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify you, right? No. Glorify your Father because you're shining the light of God. And so we shouldn't be afraid. We should be willing to let God shine in and through us. We want to hide it under a table, lest people see it and think badly of us. What we're doing is we're trying to put the sun under a coffee table. Just imagine that, trying to put the sun under a coffee table. We've all done it. I remember the time I first became a Christian. I felt like I was just a lighthouse, just shining all around, telling people the gospel, sharing my faith. But I don't know, something just came over me this one time. I think it was the 4th of July, and I was sitting on my parents' house on the roof watching the fireworks come up in the sky, and I had an old friend call me. You know, this was the time I was kind of breaking ties with some of the old relationships I had because they were I just had to break free from them in order to live the life God wanted me to live. And somebody called, I was talking to them, and they said, What's going on with you? What's going on? What's so different? And I said, I don't know. I said, I don't know. I put the sun under a coffee table. I was afraid. We've all experienced that in some way, shape, or form. Praise God, God is gracious to us. But even in fact, Jesus' mother and his brothers tried to do this too. Look back in Luke chapter 8 and verse 19. Then his mother and brothers came to him and could not approach him because of the crowd. And it was told him by some who said, your mother and brothers are standing outside desiring to see you. Now, this text doesn't say, but the parallel passage in Mark describes that the mother and brothers are a little bit concerned about what Jesus is teaching. In Mark chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says, then the multitude came together again so that they could not so much as eat bread. Okay, Jesus is teaching. He's casting demons. He's at work. And all of a sudden in verse 21, but when his own people heard about this, this would be people of his household, his mother and brothers and near relatives. When his own people heard about this, they went out to lay hold of him, for they said, he is out of his mind. Okay? He tried to put the sun under a coffee table. In verse 31 of the same chapter, then his brothers and mothers came, standing outside, they sent to him, calling him. They said, okay, enough is enough. Even they were a little ashamed, and they thought they could put some sense into him and hide the sun under a coffee table. And so, don't be ashamed of Jesus, brothers and sisters. People will think we're abnormal, yes, but guess what? We are abnormal. Okay? Christianity is an abnormal religion. It's an abnormal faith. Because it's not normal in the world. That's what abnormal means. It's not normal. Normal is what you see when you turn on television, what you see when you go around, driving around. That's normal. We're abnormal. Okay? It's just gonna happen. But what we are called to do is to go out into that normality and bring the abnormality of Christ. Take the light of God and live a holy life through, in and through different areas, different spheres of influence. We can't just stay in here and let the light bounce off the ceiling and glow and kind of shoot out the windows. We need to go out and enter into this dark world and let our light shine. There are all different spheres of influence that you can get involved with in your own employment. You're called to bring the light of the gospel to your employers. In your own community, you're called to bring the light of the gospel into your communities. You can get involved in communities. I think there are three uncontested positions for our area right now. Four. Thank you, Bill. Four seats not filled. What an opportunity! How many Bible-believing Christians are there that could see this as a chance to step into a certain realm and to influence for good and bring the light of the gospel into it? That's what we're called to do. We're not called to just be here and here alone and here only. We're called to let your light so shine before men. Our city just passed a referendum to have a library built. I assume this library is going to be bigger than the one that's currently existing. There's going to be a library board. They're probably going to hire more people to work the library. What an opportunity to get involved. The opportunities are endless. We need to ask God to show us where we need to step our foot in the door and let our light shine. Bring the message of the gospel through our good works, through our obedience, through our conversation and our actions. We ought not be afraid. So not only does Jesus teach us about the illumination of light, but he teaches us about the revelation of light. Look at verse 17 of Luke chapter 8. For nothing, nothing, highlight or underline that word, nothing is secret that will not be revealed. Revelation, revealed. Nothing is secret that will not be revealed, nor anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. Not only does light illuminate, but light also reveals. Just like the spiders that screeched when the light bulbs came on, and the light reveals all the secrets of men's hearts. That's what light does. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 13 says, "But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light." And brothers and sisters, there is a day coming. I don't know when, but it is coming that God is going to come in judgment on this world and open up the secrets of men's hearts. Every single little thought, every action and every deed that we ever did or thought is going to be revealed for all to see. The unbelieving world doesn't understand this. And we can let them know that everything which is done when you think nobody's watching, nobody sees this, God and the heavenly host sees. Imagine that. Light reveals. And the Bible teaches that that day will come and all the secrets will be revealed. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart." That day is going to come. If we spent our whole Christian lives ashamed of shining the light and trying to stuff the sun into a coffee table drawer, that day is going to reveal that we were ashamed and wanted to stuff that coffee, the sun into a coffee table, into the drawer. But if we are convicted and we say, "No, Lord, shine through me, shine, Jesus, shine," and we leave and we go and we let the gospel flow in and through each and every one of us, and that day will reveal that we were willing to let God so shine through us. And I praise God for the blood of Jesus. For if it were not for His blood to cleanse me of sin, I'd be doomed on that day. And you would be as well. But His blood was shed to forgive us of our sins. But brothers and sisters, that does not mean that our deeds will not be revealed. Though our sins are forgiven and not held against us, we will stand before God and give an account for the life that He gave us to have in Christ. And everything will be revealed. And this gives us hope, though. Even though it wakes us up and convicts us, it gives us hope because there is an incredible amount of deceit in the world today. Anybody heard the phrase fake news? There's a lot of deceit in the world today. And that day is going to come to bring all things to light. I've been reading some interesting articles lately. Didn't realize how deep the deceit goes. But that day is going to come and bring all things to light. That gives us hope, doesn't it? Or even in a personal life, even in an individual life, you may be struggling with somebody who you know, you just can't put your finger on it, but you know they're deceiving you. They're lying to you. They're mistreating you. Every lie, every sin, every deep, dark secret, all activities will be made known, will be made known, because light reveals, light reveals. So we've seen the illumination of light, the revelation of light, and thirdly, the compensation of light. In verse 18 of Luke chapter 8, therefore, so there's a flow of thought here, okay? 1, 2, 3. Therefore, take heed how you hear. For whoever has, to him more will be given. And whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. Light is not only described as something that illuminates, something that reveals, but can be described as something that imparts understanding. Okay? We say, shed some light on the situation, okay? I need to understand. We understand a fact and the light came on, okay? There are a lot of facts out there, you know. We'll never know all of them. But every time we learn something, we gain more light, you see. And with our Christian faith, God imparts the light of His truth in you. And you must respond to the light you've been given. None of us can admit that we're going to spend our lives being deep theologians, understanding all the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And any time you ask a theologian what their conclusion of all their study, they just echo Paul's words, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are His judgments, His ways past finding out. Sometimes we open up God's Word and there are deep things we can't understand and we say, God, help me understand. And sometimes He allows that light to come and He reveals His truth to you, something you didn't know before. He gives you more light. But sometimes we just don't know. There are things in the Bible that can't be known, will not be known, perhaps in the life to come as well. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 says this, "The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of His law." Sometimes we have to stop and say, "Lord, I can't know everything. What do You want me to know today? What do You want me to know today? And how do You want me to live according to that light?" Every time you open your Bible, God gives you a little bit more light, and how wonderful that light comes. But with that light comes responsibility. More light means more responsibility. You can no longer say, "I didn't know that." If God reveals to you that a certain behavior is sin, then you are now enlightened to respond to that light. If you respond well, you will be given more light and understanding to God, of God. But if not, if you don't respond well, if you don't act according to that light, then God will take away more light. God will take away more light. That's why Jesus says, "He who has, to him more will be given." And we want more light from God. We want to know God more. We want to understand God more. We want to live for God more. We open our Bibles. We pray, shed some light in our hearts that are dark. "To he who has, to him more will be given. Whoever does not have, because he spurns that light, he rejects that light, even what he seems to have will be taken from him." We need to respond positively to this light. Matthew talks about this when Jesus was denouncing certain cities because they rejected him. In the book of Matthew, chapter 11, verses 20 to 14, "Then he began to rebuke the cities in which most of his mighty works had been done because they did not repent. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say to you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon of the day of judgment than for you. And you, Capernaum, who were exalted to heaven, will be brought down to Hades. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Sodom, it would have remained. But I say to you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for you. These cities were going to be held more responsible than Sodom, not because they were more immoral, but because they were given more light. They had Jesus preaching the gospel. Sodom didn't. All Sodom had was creation and conscience to respond to. And that, brothers and sisters, is why our country is in deep, deep trouble. Because we have been given incredible light. This country was built upon the Bible, Christian principles, and the light of the gospel of the glory of the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And slowly by rejecting this light, we put ourselves in a worse predicament than Sodom and Gomorrah. Right now, I could say we're probably not as immoral as Sodom and Gomorrah, okay? They had boys coming out, pounding on doors, trying to get visitors, tourists out to rape them in the streets, okay? We're immoral, but I haven't had that happen on my door yet. But what is the matter? We've seen a society that has been given so much light, so much truth, so much understanding, and it's being rejected. Echoing the words of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2, it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. This is why, brothers and sisters, we want to get out there, because we don't know how long it's going to be before the day is over. This is why it's imperative that we listen to God when He says, I am not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's why He's waiting. That's why He's holding back. Because there are still souls to be brought in. There are still opportunities for us to shine our light, let our good works be known, and point to God. Absolutely. Absolutely. Let us take advantage of that. Let us live every day seeing that the time is short. Okay? The gospel is being preached to you today. The light of the gospel is being preached to you. How will you respond? How will you respond when we enter into the Lord's table? How will you respond to this gospel? Jesus came and died for our sins, according to the scriptures. We deserve the wrath of God. He took the punishment that we deserved. He died, He was buried, He rose from the grave. We can't earn it. We must receive it as a free gift. That's the gospel. Now, you've heard it. You've heard it. How will you respond? Will you receive the light into your dark heart? Or will you reject the light only to become darker? Christian, this little light of yours, are you going to let it shine? Will you hide it? Will we put the big, giant ball of gas and light under a coffee table? Or will we unleash it? And let Jesus take dominion of your life and shine it out through you, all around you. Are you living knowing that God will bring all things into judgment? Allowing His light to be the final say in the matter. Walk in the light, brothers and sisters, knowing that God's holy and loving, tender gaze is upon you all day long. He says He'll never leave you nor forsake you. And though he did not disrespect his brother and his mothers, but he wanted to teach his disciples something. He said, they were a little bit ashamed. They wanted to hide him under the table. But he said this. He said, my mother and my brothers are these who hear the word of God and do it. You've been given the light of the word of God here this morning. Do you want to be in the family of Christ? Recognized as a brother, a sister, a mother, a father, a grandmother, a grandfather in the family of God. Hear the word of God and do it. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Because the day is almost over. Time is running out. Let your light shine. Amen. Let's pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much that your light has pierced the darkness in my soul and shown me where the corners and crevices of my soul need your light. I thank you, Father God, that anyone here who has sensed that their soul is black, they need that light to come. Father, may they receive it. May they not shy away from it. May they not be like the burglar who, when the light of the law enforcement shines on them, they try to run away. But may they see the light and walk towards it. Not as an institution to cast them away into prison, but as a loving God to release them from their chains and to free them from their unholy desires. Dear God, may your light shine through this church. Oh God, come and shine through this church. Oh God, each and every one of us here, you've made as a mini light of the glorious sun that you are. Help us, Father in heaven, not to point to ourselves, not to be a holier-than-thou mentality, but to just to let you shine through us. Let your works work in these arms and these legs and these lips. Please, Father God, we pray in Jesus' name.